First Peter chapter 5. Did you get a chance to make any of those changes in that last word?
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Okay. Well, what I'm concerned with is whether or not you were able to get those in, the ones that changed in or not.
Yeah, what I'll do is probably I won't put in the aquarium quote
because I'm tired of it. Okay. But you may be tired of it. Nobody else is.
Well, that doesn't matter.
Huh? He's the leader.
Right.
I know. He's the leader. All right. Verse 5 and 6, we began to look at yesterday. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Humility, as we said yesterday, is it's a word in the Greek that was something to be avoided. It was in classic Greek language, it was vile. It was a bad, bad thing. Because humility meant the absence of self-realization in any guise, in any way. Even the self-realization of trying to find God. Now this one is really hard because all of our lives, in our minds and in other people's minds, we've been rewarded for that kind of effort. The idea that we would strive to do this or that. I remember, this must be the day to pick on Gary Buckner, because I've already got two or three things here.
You can have yours today back in.
You just
walked
in by. Recovered
patient.
Yeah.
Recovered patient, yeah.
No, it's a sincere thing. I mean, it's that Gary wanted to know the scriptures. And it was a real big deal with him that he didn't think that he knew the scriptures well enough. But I tried to tell him then, and this was many years ago, that's not the issue. The issue is that even has to be repented of, because whatsoever thing is a gain to you is a loss to Christ. And that's hard. That's a hard thing to think about for a believer, because everything in you says that it is the right thing to do. Study to show yourself approved, rightly dividing the word of faith, the word of truth. But again, all of these things. We know that the word rightly dividing the word of truth means to study, to see that Jesus Christ has fulfilled all possible situations. That's the same word for a sacrificial knife, cutting up the offering, so that you know that by his offering, every possible need that you could have or that any human being on the face of the earth could have has been met. By one offering, you've been perfected forever. So the only thing that you do is you study to show, to see the confirmation that it's finished and that you are complete in him with no effort on your part. And we don't like that, because, you know, we just, that's too easy. There's everybody thinks they want grace, but the truth is nobody wants grace. You want to be rewarded for some aspect of your effort.
We don't have it. We don't let other people have grace either.
Maybe. But it's so, you know, well, I say, well, my God, Ole, you studied, you know, did all those word studies and translated for 12 years. But I didn't learn anything in all that time. All I was trying to do is to make sure what I had seen in that mystery of conversion was true. It was to certify or to confirm the revelation, not to try to find something out. I wanted to make sure that I wasn't deceived.
You just did what you did. It's not anything to be praised or...
Right, it's not, it has
no
nothing...
Status. It's just you did what you did.
Right, but I know, but everybody says, well, when I say that you... You know, your attempts to study, to find out the Word of God, or to find out, you know, well, is sin. Well, I say, well, what did you do for 12 years? Well, I probably sinned too. But I mean, that's not the issue. All I know is whatsoever things are gained to me are lost to Christ in any dimension. And that is the seeing of that and the recognition of that is the true definition of humility. And that's, we don't know much about that kind of humility. It's foreign to the human race. And that's why I listened to Benny Hinn this morning. He had some guy named Frig Pen or something on there. What's his name, Ronnie?
The accuser of the breast.
Who is that?
Francis Fig.
Frangipani.
What's his name?
Frangipani hosted Praise the Lord last night.
Frangipani.
Francis Frangipani.
Talking about the accuser of the breast.
I've seen him in person, that Frangipani guy.
You have seen him in person? Yes, did you swoon?
Were you delivered?
No, he said a couple of things that I thought was pretty interesting. Whatever it was he said, I don't remember it. At the time,
you thought they were interesting. No, I mean, it sounded very sincere. They were talking about how to pray. And you're giving all these rules. At first, you have to have this, and then in the second, you do that, and then third, you do that, and fourth, you do that. And it was just another how-to. And it's so subtle because that sounds like that's the right thing to do. And I was just listening and I just felt like crying because they're leading people astray because they're giving them a how-to. And therefore, and at the bottom line, the death of Christ, the sacrifice of the Son, was not enough for them because they have to learn the how-tos. Who can believe such things? Who can believe that now you are complete in Him? The anointing that you have received, you have need that no man teach you. By one offering, you've been perfected forever. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall never again be in need, even about religious stuff or God stuff. I mean, but the propensity in every man is to want to have a how-to. Instead of waiting on Him. Because the how-to will relieve you or get you out of suffering. And will cause you not to have to wait.
Yeah, I think thinking, you know, if I follow these rules here of prayer, then my prayers will be answered.
Oh, I know. Yeah. That's why, I mean... People have stopped wanting to have meetings with me, I hope, because they always come to me with, they want a how-to. What shall I do about this? What shall I do about that? pray that I never tell them what to do. I only tell them who they are. But it's so subtle to, you know, to get in a how-to. Because if you can get in a how-to for somebody else, then my God, you're something. I remember a few times in the past when there were Bible studies and somebody had a problem, and then I'd sit there a minute and listen. Everybody had an idea of what that person should do about it, and I'd hit the ceiling. Then I heard about other Bible studies doing the same thing, and I hit the ceiling twice. We can never have a how-to. Because if you have a how-to, there can be no humility. You want to share it with the rest of the class, Ronnie?
I'm just kidding.
Everybody understand this? How the mind and the nature of the beast that we are always wants a solution, a how-to. And if you go in that direction or listen to that advice, then you've lost humility. Because it's an avenue of self-realization, which humility is the opposite of. There can be no love without humility. In truth, humility is the opposite of sin. And that's why these ancient church fathers said so many things about humility. It's the first, second, and third virtue. It's the mother of all other virtues. Because nothing else can happen without humility. It can't be faked. What happens if it's fake? Voluntary humility. Anybody know what voluntary humility is? It's a thing that when you see it, it makes you sick to your stomach. You get this nauseous feeling when you just want to go slap them. Of course, we've never seen that here. Sweet Pete and Meek Pete and No, I'm just kidding.
The sentence usually contains the word just.
Right.
I'm just.
Remember, we had this person here for a long time. They averaged 43 justs in each prayer that they made. Lord, we're just. Let's go to Colossians chapter 2, I think. I turned right to it.
It's a sign.
It's because I had my bookmark in there. I didn't even know I had a bookmark in there. Colossians chapter 2. He has to have the tabs.
All right.
We're going to study Colossians next, I think, after we finish. When we finish 1 Peter in like 2006. Let's start in chapter 2, verse 4. And this I say, lest any. Wait a minute. Let's go ahead. Let's start in verse 1. For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. Now, who beguiles you most with enticing words? You do. You beguile yourself. It's like you con yourself, which is just really crazy. Lest any man beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you have therefore received Christ, Jesus the Lord, so walk you in him. Now therein is the real definition of humility. Because from a scriptural standpoint, you can't know that you've received him. Remember, he's the light that lighteth all men. And to those that receive him, which are acknowledged that light, he gives the power to become the sons of God. You cannot receive him until you are at a point of total and complete desperation. Now, fortunately, some of you have accepted him as your personal Savior when you just sort of were a little bit sad or something. And then you tried to use him to fulfill your ideas of the way things should be. Well, fortunately, that didn't work, and you ended up here. Some of you were in the world, and the plagues came, and then you received him, and you got in a jet, and you just made one of those quick touchdowns landings in Jerusalem, and then you went straight to Babylon, because you loved how-tos, cause and effect. Because how-tos, what can they do for you? My God, how-tos can still make you God, like God. But the exhortation here is to what? As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk you in him. You can never leave that place of total and complete helplessness. Remember yesterday we talked about that the real requirement for humility is your understanding of two things. The awesomeness of the power of God and your own existential helplessness. Now, therein is the fear of God, therein is humility. But what happens? We are at that point of great desperation. We received him. He became our life. And we started believing our mind. And we have plans and ideas and ambitions. And we have goals. And then we have the temerity to put God's name on all these things that we've decided. I know, I've done it. Unfortunately, God causes all that to fail. Till we return to the place where we received him. Total and complete helplessness. And that's where we must stay. Dependency. The total and complete dependency of a small child. Never ever leaving that place. And the moment you leave it, and you'll leave it automatically, you'll try to leave it the moment they're suffering. And you'll try to have a scheme to get out of suffering. And that doesn't work. So fortunately, Holy Spirit brings you back to the same place. Then you think something is wrong. Then you go get delivered. 43,000 times. Or you learn to pray better. To get out of where God wants you to be. Can you for a second taste the evilness of how-tos? As you received him, so walk you in him. You received him. If you didn't receive him in a state of helplessness, it's doubtful that you received him. But you never leave that place. But your mind says, now I've got this guy, this big guy, to help me. Now I can do what I want and what I think and what should be done.
Now you want to get on with it. You want to get, you know, once you've done that humility thing.
Yeah, you want to just do that once.
Like, now it's time to do these other important things that, you know.
It's like people tell me that. You know, they hear me talk about the cross and they say, yeah, I did that. Now it's time to talk about what's on the other side of the cross. No. You can never leave the cross. You can never leave the state of helplessness. Everybody understand that? The real definition of humility, you got to hear this in a practical way, is that you accept with gratitude everything that comes in your life without resistance, without judgment. What a concept. The evidence of humility is that you have lost the capacity to think that things around you should be any different than they are, ever. And that becomes the state of being that you live in. There will be exceptions when you're drawn out of it. But to walk in humility is to walk in this place of having no... Nothing can come at you. Not some... You know, somebody's look at you, or somebody glances at you the wrong way, or somebody doesn't respond to you the way they think. Nothing can take you away from that place. That's humility. It's not even a trait. It is a lifetime commitment. Because you must always remind the evil one. Because the evil one, his position is everything, your mind is everything other than humility. That's enough. Any response?
You're saying in that place of humility, it's you're in a place where your life is not about you. You aren't even a factor, so if somebody glances at you wrong or whatever, you're not affected.
Right. The aspect of humility, see, that's the way you were born. That's what the absence of self-awareness is, humility. But that's where God wanted you in the first place. So why didn't he leave you there? Well, the reason he didn't leave you there in the first state is because that's innocence. God doesn't want innocence. He wants holiness. And so the purpose of your life from the time of before you had self-awareness until you die, the purpose of your life is to have everything in the universe come against you so that you will return to the place of no self-awareness. Except you be converted and become as this darling infant, this little child without self-awareness, you can in no wise enter the kingdom of God. Because that's the only way that you can be, you can, it's Christ in you, that you can be in the likeness of him. Because it's been fully tested. Amen. Anybody else?
It reminds me of Abraham sitting in his tent. The visitor comes to see him. Just sitting there. And then the test that comes after it. I mean, the whole that whole story of Abraham and his sons.
Amen.
Perfect.
The perfect Christian, Abraham. What day is it today? I don't even know what day it is. What?
Wednesday.
Oh, you had a happy birthday, belatedly.
Thank you.
It's a birthday.
59.
Week.
It's about your birthday, too, isn't it?
Yeah.
January 17th. It just passed. January 17th. I'm just 31 years old. 31 years ago, January 17th, 1972.
In case mine's November 22nd, 1977.
78. 77. Oh, you told me 78 before. You and Benny Hinn.
33.
Benny Hinn has like six different conversion dates and is different.
I remember I was at a Catherine Kuhlman concert.
And you visited her grave.
Felt this thing come over me. See, a double anointing. This year is going to be a triple anointing month. March 3rd is a mighty day. March 3rd is a mighty day.
Mighty day.
And double anointing.
Three. They know exactly what it is.
3-3-3.
Oh God. Triple anointing.
Third month. Third day. Third year of the second millennium. And you can't believe how many different televangelists are using the same thing. They just copy each other. They just copy each other. They copy their sermons. They copy their doctrine.
What does Harold Camping say?
Oh, Camping is an idiot. All right, take it, big guy.